up here about like this in order to read anything. So it's all part of it, amen? And, okay. And let me get the right lesson here. Stuck in my Bible here. The unpardonable sin. That's what we're going to speak on this morning. That's what we're going to look into. The unpardonable sin. And some people think there is no sin that's unpardonable. Other people have different views, and so we're going to see what the Bible says about it this morning. God's good news is that there's a full and free forgiveness offered to all through the merits of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the heart of the gospel is summed up in Acts 13 and verse 38. I wrote that down right here. Acts 13, verse 36, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Through Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. That's the heart of the gospel right there. Forgiveness. We can have forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we're to think of the one great sin for which there is no forgiveness, either in this world or the world to come. And it's clear there is such a sin, and we can identify that in Matthew 12, verse 31 and verse 32. "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come." And so there's four reasons for including this subject and studying these things that we're talking about this morning. First of all, because the subject forms a very definite part of biblical revelation. We must proclaim the whole counsel of God. And the first Bible college I went to out in Texas, I'd just been saved at 23. By age 24, I was within a few months of being saved, actually, I was going to Bible college. And they used to have a big sign at the entrance of this college, preaching the whole English Bible. And so that's not done much today. These preachers will pick out parts of the Bible they want to preach, and they hammer on that and go on with that. But actually, all preachers were called to preach the whole Word, the whole Bible. And so this is part of the Scripture. It's not pleasant. So much of the Bible is not pleasant to us. But it's part of the Bible and needs to be preached. Second, because there's so much misunderstanding about this subject. You get all kinds of answers when you start asking people about their unpardonable sin. They've got all sorts of viewpoints all over the place. So there's a lot of misunderstanding about the subject, and many folk who certainly have not committed this sin fear perhaps they have. That's a sure sign that they're saved. Did you know that? That's a sure sign. Because a lost person has no concern about it. A lost person it never enters their mind. So anyone who's at all concerned that he may have committed this sin can rest assured he's not done so. For his very concern is an evidence the Holy Spirit is at work in his heart or her heart. Third reason is because the possibility of committing the unpardonable sin shows how false the teaching of universalism and future probation is. There's a growing amount of people who believe in universalism. God is so good, he's going to save everybody in the end. And so many teach that if we die without Christ, we'll have a second chance to be saved later on down the road. But the Bible does not teach that teaching. Does not offer such hope that a person could be saved later on, have a second chance. So the Lord's teaching about this sin for which there is no forgiveness settles once and for all that the teaching of universalism is absolutely false. Then last, because many who are in danger of committing this sin must be warned. There are some people on the edge. They need to be warned about this. And this is a sin against the Holy Spirit. We're living in the dispensation of the Spirit right now. And so there's a very real sense, therefore, in which there's a greater danger of this sin being committed today than there was when Jesus walked the earth. Because we're living in the age of the Spirit right now, the Holy Spirit. And first of all, what is the unpardonable sin? Well, let's break this up into two areas. First of all, there is the looking at it negatively, and then we'll look at it positively. First of all, in looking at it negatively, it's not lying. That is not the unpardonable sin. Untruthfulness is very common today. And so parents need especially to teach their children to always be truthful, even when it hurts. Since Obama, nobody takes responsibility for anything. Have you noticed that? I can't recount one time during the 8 years of Obama that he ever took responsibility for. He always blamed it on somebody else. It was always somebody else's problem, somebody else's fault. And that's becoming more and more common. Remember the old saying, everything rises or falls on leadership. Families rise or fall on leadership. Churches rise or fall on leadership. Armies rise or fall on leadership. Whole countries rise or fall on leadership, as we're in the midst of a battle right now for leadership. And so, teach children to tell the truth, no matter if it hurts them or not. Take responsibility. That's all part of being a man. When you're wrong, admit it and go on. And it's not lying, however, even though that's common today. It's not swearing and unclean talk. And thank God there is forgiveness for this sin. Uh, I'm hearing people swear and then turn around and say that they are Christians. Do God a favor. Don't tell anybody about it. If you're going to cuss, if you're going to swear, don't say that you're a Christian. Just go about your business. You don't sound like a Christian. If you don't sound like a Christian, then don't tell anybody. It's not drunkenness. Many drunkards have been saved. And there's full and free forgiveness for the alcoholic who will come to the Lord in repentance and trust in His redeeming blood for cleansing and forgiveness. It's not any sexual sin, and there's things we can't say publicly here. Terrible sexual sins have been committed. Too horrible to mention. But every one of them can be forgiven to the one who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and asks forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful? I just saw on the internet that Tebow and his wife have joined an organization to attack the problem of sexual slavery. And that's common in our days. And so that's even more terrible than what was in the country during the Civil War. Sexual slavery is more wicked than that. It's all part of the end times, I would suppose. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. So evil is abounding in our day. But sexual sin is not the unpardonable sin. It's not theft. Matthew and Zacchaeus were both thieves in the sense they had to be dishonorable in order to conduct their tax gathering successfully. Tax collectors have always had a bad name. Did you know that? I started a church in North Carolina in the first part of my ministry before I was an evangelist. I had a woman who was working for the IRS in the church, so I had to be careful. I had to be careful because she might come knocking on my door. And so Matthew and Zacchaeus were both thieves, but they were both saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the unpardonable sin. And multitudes of thieves and robbers have been forgiven and cleansed and welcomed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It's not blasphemy. Before his conversion, Paul was a blasphemer. But how wonderfully he was saved. And his life took off in a different direction totally. In 2 Samuel 11 and verse 15 through 17, it's not murder. And he wrote the letter. This is David and Urah. 2 Samuel 11. And he wrote the letter saying, "Set ye Urah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." Now this is a dirty dog right here, David. Here he is. He's at his window. And the king's palace was the tallest building in the town. And he could look down on the roofs of all these other buildings. And he saw a woman taking a bath up on a roof. And lust entered into his heart through the eye. Men, we have to be careful about that. Lust enters through the eye. And so he had one of his soldiers to go get Bathsheba. They committed adultery. Notice how sin is progressive. One leads to another. Almost always. Rarely does that happen, that it does not lead to another sin. Started out by the sin of adultery, and then sin, someone said, is progressive. Next thing, here's a day. Who could have had any woman in the land that was single? He chooses a woman who's already married. Does that make sense? He didn't care what God said. He was aware. And so he sent a lieutenant of the guard to bring her home, over to his palace, and they committed adultery. Then he devises a plan to get rid of Uriah, her faithful husband, who was a soldier on the battlefield. Uriah comes home on leave and sleeps at the door. He would not go into his wife because his comrades on the battlefield were not able to come home to their wives. And so he was no better than them. Don't you see how loyal this guy was? Don't you see what a good man he was? Amazingly. And so then David devises this plan to send Uriah back into the battle. And he says whenever the battle is the hottest, whenever the enemy is the strongest, you withdraw all of your troops and let him fight alone, he'll be killed. Which is what happened. And so David brings the judgment of God down upon himself. And Uriah, the faithful husband, is murdered. Sin is progressive. One sin leads to another sin, and then David commits another sin by lying about the whole thing and denying it. Oh, but he was forgiven for all this. David was forgiven. Isn't it wonderful that we can have forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we're not making light of any of these sins, but we're emphasizing the fact that they are not the unpardonable sin. And yet, if these sins are not forsaken, any one of them that we've just mentioned, any one of them, if they keep on going, they're not forsaken and they're not forgiven by the Lord. They don't ask the Lord to forgive them for them. They can lead to the unpardonable sin. Any sin becomes unpardonable if the one who commits it refuses to confess and forsake it. There's where the danger comes. We're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Never let that thought be too far from us. We're all sinners. And what then What then is a sin against the Holy Ghost? It is the persistent, willful rejection of the Holy Spirit's testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Going on and on, resisting, and willful rejection of the Holy Spirit's testimony concerning the Lord. And so, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We're living in the dispensation of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convinces men concerning the person of Jesus Christ. The value of His finished work and their need of Him as Savior and Lord. So it is therefore obvious that to reject the testimony of the Holy Spirit means that we place ourselves beyond the possibility of being saved. No one can be saved without the operation and activity of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals to us we're lost. Otherwise, we would all be lost. Without the Holy Spirit, who's going to be saved? Nobody. The Holy Spirit reveals to us our lost and undone position before a holy God. We all think of ourselves as pretty good people, even guys who's murdered. Even people who lies and steals and does all kinds of, robs banks, they think they're pretty good people. Why do they need to be saved? Well, the Holy Spirit, that's one of His jobs. He reveals to us our sinful condition before a holy God. None of us measure up to be perfect. That's the truth about us all. And so when a person, the Holy Spirit is working with a person and witnessing to them to the fact that Jesus Christ forgives sin, and yet they reject it and reject it and reject it. That is the unpardonable sin. Have you known somebody like that? Probably you have. I know I have. So, to reject the Holy Spirit's testimony means to reject Christ. And that means to reject salvation. And when one has done that, he has committed the unpardonable sin. And so when anyone persists in rejecting the testimony of the Holy Spirit to the person and power of the Lord Jesus, then he commits this sin, the unpardonable sin, is committed when anyone persistently, consciously, and willfully rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. Resists the strivings of the Holy Spirit and refuses to humble themselves before the Lord and refuses to be drawn to the Savior and neglects God's great salvation and hardens his heart against the voice of the Lord. That is the unpardonable sin. And the unpardonable sin is not an isolated act. It's not just a one-time thing. It is a persistent attitude. I was in the Air Force with a guy. We were great friends. I was lost then. And after I got saved, I had to go someplace up in Ohio. And I stopped into his house in Kentucky, overnight. And I started witnessing to him. He said, "Stop! I don't want to hear it." I don't want to hear it. I don't want any kind of religion. He might well have committed the unpardonable sin. Because over a persistent, a consistent amount of time and being persistent in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, that person commits the unpardonable sin. Get saved while you can get saved, friend. Be saved while you can be saved. And so the unpardonable sin is not an isolated act. It's committed when the Holy Spirit reveals to us the Savior and our need of Him. And when seeing the Lord Jesus and being conscious of our need of Him, we refuse to trust Him and make Him Lord and Savior of our lives. People who reject soul winners time and time again are in danger of this sin. Now, we don't know, humanly speaking, we don't know how many times it takes for them to reject Jesus Christ and be lost. But we do know that it is something that is done over a period of time, and they consistently reject Christ as Savior. That person is in danger. And the Lord knows when to pull the plug here. It's up to Him. He will not strive with man. If on and on and on a person rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then why is this sin unpardonable? Here's an illustration here. There must always be two parties to forgiveness. The forgiver and the forgiven. They have to be present. Both the forgiver and the forgiven. Jesus Christ is the forgiver. And the forgiven is human beings who trust in Him. This sin is unforgivable because it rejects forgiveness. It rejects forgiveness. And so, a man was trapped at the top of a burning building, and the fire brigade erected a net to which he could jump, and they called out him to jump, but he refused. They told him the net would hold him. But he replied that he did not wish to be saved. They shouted, "You fool! Jump!" But he refused and he died in the flames. That's a perfect illustration of what happens to a man lost who refuses to be forgiven. He refuses the Lord's forgiveness. That's the unpardonable sin. So everyone who's not a Christian is in danger of hell. Unless they're saved. Unless they get saved. Christ is a rescuer. He's provided the net. The gospel. The way of salvation. And He appeals to them to trust Him to deliver them. And if they refuse His salvation, then they must die in their sins. Die unforgiven and unpardoned, and they must perish in the flames of His wrath. Thank God, no one needs to commit the unpardonable sin. No one need live without Christ, or no one needs to die without Him. Even now the Holy Spirit pleads with every impenitent soul to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as Savior. The Lord's gracious invitation is still sounding forth. to all who have ears to hear and hearts to accept. Seek ye the Lord. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So this verse insinuates the Lord is not always near. Call upon him while he is near, while he is revealing to the person their lost condition. The Lord will not appeal and woo and draw incessantly. There will come a time when the Lord will say, I'm finished. The unpardonable sin has been committed. And this person's destiny is, sadly, going to hell. Father, we're grateful for your goodness, for thy word, which is a lamp unto our feet. Bless the morning service. May sinners be saved, Christians challenged by thy word. And we'll give thee the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we have